right, so we've been on this journey for the past couple of months. Over the summer, the Lord really began to kind of impress on me how he wanted to take us all to another level when it comes to how we connect as the body of Christ. You know, some of you may know that I'm a credentialed life coach, and so there's things that I've learned in life coaching that have to do with how you connect, how you can receive, how you can really benefit from connections. And so over the summer, the Lord really began to speak to my heart about that this was something he wants for everybody to experience. So we've been building to this kind of week by week. You know, every time I think I'm about ready to share what he told me, you know, to share in the summer, some other thing comes up. No, you got to talk about this first. So it's like week after week, we've been building this kind of foundation on how to have good relationships. You know, I think I said last week, you know, we're supposed to love one another, but it's usually the other that becomes the problem that we have, you know, when it comes to loving. So if, you know, if this is your first time hearing me share about this, what you can do, if you're interested, you can go back on heavensinvasion.com and actually start with, oh my gosh, what was the first message I shared on this? It was like a 12-minute message. It was like the shortest one I've ever shared on connecting and relationships. I don't even remember now, but it's there on the website. And you can basically catch up if you're interested in doing that. So tonight I want to talk to you about how to discover the divine connections that God has for you. Anybody interested in that?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because if you weren't, I would just say, all right, we'll go worship. So there's basically two kinds of people that we're to be in relationship with in the body of Christ. Just two. I love how God keeps things simple. Anybody else like that? It's like, thank you, Lord. So the first type are the people that he gives you who are in your life to help you advance. Okay? There are people that God has marked out for you that will help you advance in your growth, in your development, you know, into the things that God's called you to do. And those people will be mentors. They can also be people in your life that are your peers, but they have the ability to really help you advance. And then the other category would be people that God gives to you who need your help to advance. And we'll talk about that one at some later date. But tonight I want to focus on the people that God has given you to help you advance in the things of God and towards your destiny. Does that sound good? You sure? Sorry. I'm in one of those moods tonight, so just been up. What I'm sharing with you tonight actually was something that the Lord showed me when I was reading the incident in the Gospels where the paralyzed guy was brought by his friends to Jesus. And they couldn't get in the house, so they climbed on the roof, opened, you know, dug a hole in the roof and lowered the guy down. You know, great story. But as I read that, I suddenly realized that if that guy didn't have four friends in his life, he'd still be paralyzed. And so God began to open this thing up to me and said, yeah, you know, those four friends that carried his pallet or his stretcher or whatever it was, they were critical to his advancement in the life that God wanted him to have. So I said, Lord, what does that look like? And I began to explore that with him. And so tonight I want to begin to share with you a little bit of what God showed me. And so we're going to throw the PowerPoint up, if you don't mind doing that. It's like I'm now really getting, you know, technical here using PowerPoint. It's like, oh my gosh. Hello, Augie. Are you there? Give me my PowerPoint, please. Yes, look at that. Isn't that gorgeous? Diamonds are pearls, best. Okay, so what God showed me was this geometric shape called a diamond. And each side of that shape has meaning for each of us in our lives. The first part is, next slide, is the mentors. Everybody should have at least one mentor in their life. You may have more than one. But that mentor is someone who stands behind you to help you get a vision for your life. They help you get clarity on your destiny. They impart wisdom and counsel that you need to advance. They believe in you and encourage you when things get tough. They pray with you and give you that extra push when you need it to help you keep going. Okay? That's kind of what a mentor should do. And by the way, if you have a mentor that doesn't do that, then they're not really a mentor. Okay. Now, there's one slight distinction to this that I will make. Because God will often give us long-distance mentors. And long-distance mentors are simply people that we'll probably never meet in person, but we're strongly influenced by their books, by their teachings, by other things that the Lord uses to help us break free of mindsets that are holding us back. Okay? And I think most of us have at least one person like that, probably well-known either nationally or even globally, someone that's really got a powerful ministry, and God's used them to really, you know, help us get free in so many ways. So that's a mentor. Then what you have next are what I call peer relationships. Now, I want to make a distinction for you tonight between acquaintances and, you know, friendships, which are fine, and peer relationships. Because a peer relationship is designed to actually have somebody walking with you who's committed to your growth as much as you're committed to theirs. Okay? You know, peers in academia, in research, you know, they're really considered to be co-equal in a particular project or in a particular thing that they're doing. So having peer relationships is a very important thing for every single Christian. Okay? Because what these peers do is, in effect, your peers do life with you. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about doing life with somebody that you trust, that you can be open with, that you can be vulnerable to, that you give permission to, by the way, to get in your face when you start getting a little squirrely. Okay? You start getting a little nuts, and they're going, what's wrong with you? What are you smoking? What's wrong? I mean, come on. You know, you give them that permission to actually be a check in your life. If they feel like that, who am I talking to now? You know? Right? So, you know, we're talking about someone who supports and encourages you, walks with you, keeps you accountable. I love this part. Peers should keep you accountable to your true identity in Christ. So that if you start fleshing out for whatever reason, right? I love this. Graham Cook was talking about this one time. He said that when he's with somebody who's clearly fleshing out, this is the question he asks them. He says, who am I talking to right now? And another person goes, well, huh, what are you talking about? You're talking to me. No, who am I talking to right now? Am I talking to the old dead you, or am I talking to the new nature you? The new nature you. The new creation in Christ you. You know, I don't know about you, but I need that. You know, I need to have somebody that's willing to say, yo, wait a minute now. That's not the real you. It sounds like I'm talking to the dead. You know, the Bible forbids necromancy. So I'm not about to be talking to the dead anymore. When you finally crucify that thing, let me know. I'll come back and have a conversation with you. But that's so important, to have somebody that can help you stay focused on who you truly are. Isn't that good? Right? So, and I talked about getting in your face, okay? So that's this on either side. And then finally, the last one is is it there? There we go. Is your sphere of influence, which again we're not going to talk too much about tonight, but all that this does for you is equip you and empower you to make a difference in many people's lives. Okay? Because everything that God's put in you, everything that God wants to do through you is what? It's meant to bless somebody else. If you're not a serial blesser like Papa, there's still some work he needs to do in your life, because that's what we're called to. We're called to be like our dad. And he can't help himself. He loves to bless. And so we're learning how to function in that kind of a environment where we're just like, wow, look what I get to do. You know, I get to help this. Like tonight, Owen's pain is gone because we blessed him, right? Jill's going to get blessed tonight because she's going to get some amazing prophetic words, right? Jen talked about blessing this guy that she met, you know, out of the blue as she was walking around. You know, we get to do that. Eddie was talking about, we all get a chance to do this, but what you're seeing and doing now, let me just tell you, I want to prophesy to you right now that when you begin to function in the fullness of your destiny, what you get to do is exponentially beyond anything you're doing now. Because you see, what God created each of us to do is to solve something unique, to be a problem solver in people's lives, and to bring something of heaven into people's situations and circumstances in our own unique way. You don't, thank God, how many of you are happy you don't have to copy me? I mean, come on, that would be sick. You know what I'm saying? So, but you get to be you in Christ. You get to be the you that he always designed you to be, always wanted you to be. And when that happens, you are freed. You're freed to fulfill the mandate that God gave to Adam and Eve, which they never fulfilled. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. That's the kingdom of God. And every single one of us, because of Jesus, right? Because of the last Adam, who we are now, he's the progenitor of this new race of spirit beings on the earth. There's just limitless possibilities. And the only limitation is between our ears. Because I don't believe it. Because I can't conceive it. Because it seems impossible. I don't know who first said this, but I love this quote. It's become very real to me. That God is bringing us into the place where the impossible looks logical. Come on. That's good stuff right there, right? So how does this actually look like? What does it look like in real life? Okay, can I ask somebody? I need a volunteer to help me kind of illustrate this.
What does it entail?
Come on, I know. Okay, I saw that hand. So,
her.
Well, she raised her hand. You needed information. You know, sometimes you just got to step out of faith. Okay, so just pick a couple people here in a crowd that you would consider to be friends that you might, you know, connect with. Just pick any two that you want. There we go. There's Philly. Who else?
And just drag them?
No, just come in and say drag them. Oh, my gosh. No, just you only need two. It's fine. Okay, so... All right, cool. So here's how this works. You go stand over there, Patty. Right? You come here. Right? And you stand. Fine. Beautiful. No. Move away.
I want to be on camera.
I know. We got a bunch of ham bones here. All right. So this is just kind of to give you a little pictorial about what this looks like. Right? So in this little skit thing, I'm going to represent a mentor. Okay? So turn around for a minute. And just make believe you're talking to me about some deep, dark secret. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come out. Okay. So we're talking, we're praying in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Now, turn around. Now, which of your friends do you want to talk to? Just pick one. There you go. Go talk to her.
Oh, something I don't know.
There's still that spirit of violence there. I don't know what to make of that.
Passionate.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Passionate. Okay. All right. Just stay within a 10-foot radius and you'll be safe. Good. Okay. Awesome. Now, how about go talk to your other friend? Yeah. You're the guinea pig. No, you're just the friend. You have no role other than to stand there. I'm sorry, I picked her. All right, go sit down. Now, here's what you're going to do. Before you sit down, lift your hands and bless the crowd here. See, that's it. That's it. In a nutshell, that's what we're talking about, right? You work with a mentor, and you take what you're learning, and you share it with your peers. And this is what I'm going through. What are you going through? You know, what's God doing in your life? Here's what he's doing in my life. I need your help with this. Okay? And so you become very intentional in your connecting. That's the phrase that God gave me. He said intentional connections. We've all got connections. Okay, there's no question. Everybody has connections, but are your connections intentional? In other words, are you connecting with the intent to go somewhere, to bless somebody else, to walk with somebody else, so you get where God's called you to go? That's intentionality. Now, this blew my mind as I was really just dialoguing with the Lord about this week. All of a sudden, he drops this thing in my heart. How do they cut diamonds to make them shine, right? So, well, I know they cut them, but I'm really not familiar with the process. So I did, you did what everybody else does. You Google it. And I ran across this really amazing video that describes the process of cutting diamonds to make them shine. Now, I'm not going to show the whole thing. I want to just show a really little piece of this. And especially to focus on one line in this video that my mouth just dropped when I heard the guy say this. So can we get that video up there? If the facets are cut too deep or too shallow, light leaks out the bottom, making the diamond dark in the center and dull overall. When I heard that, I was like, what? What? What's God's design or purpose for you? Jesus said, let your light shine before men. So that what? What are they supposed to see? Your good works. Say, Augie, can you bring the lights back up? Let your light so shine so that people may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, what kind of good works are going to cause people to glorify God? Are we talking works that anybody can do? Are we talking stuff that's just run-of-the-mill? Things that are humanly possible? Were any of the works that Jesus did works that were humanly possible? Absolutely not. So when Jesus talked about good works, he was not talking about works that you do in your strength, in your ability. These are works that come out of the supernatural partnership that we are potentially able to live in and live out of with our Heavenly Father. Because without that partnership, you will not be able to do anything that people will be blessed by. And so as when I heard that, that the facets are not cut properly, the diamond is dull. The light leaks out, but not in a good way. And so, what am I saying to you tonight? I'm saying that this process that the Lord has given us, right, as brothers and sisters in Christ, of connecting intentionally, is designed to release the fullness of the light that He's put in us. And I'll say to you tonight that if you don't avail yourself of the connections that God has for you, you're going to miss out on what He wants to do in and through you. You can't escape it. All you have to do is read Ephesians 4, where Paul talks about how the body of Christ actually grows. And I think I referenced this last week. You know, he says the body grows when the joints connect and the supply is released in the joints. It's where we connect with each other that stuff happens. And so when we do that, here's what the Bible says. I got to reference some more scripture here. Hebrews 10, I don't know if it was Paul, but the writer says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. He says, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Do you know what that means? It's a reference back to an old proverb that says, iron sharpens iron. Do you know that in this relationship that you choose to have with someone as a peer, okay, you have permission to irritate them? Because that's what the word means. The word means, but it's got to be in a sense that I'm going to irritate you because I see your potential and you're not living up to it. I see what you're possible, you know, what's possible for you, but you're not there yet, and I want to help you get there. You see, that's what we can do for each other. Is I see such awesome potential in your life, and I'm not going to let you skate. I'm not going to let you slide by with anything less than everything that God has for you, right? So stimulating one another to love and good deeds, man, it's like you have permission to provoke and irritate each other with prophetic accountability. That's what you get to do. James 5:16, I love this. Oh, I skipped one, sorry. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Anybody get burdened sometimes? We all get burdened, we all get discouraged, we all go through stuff, but you know what? Two are better than one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The scripture gives us this picture of how we should bear one another's burdens, help each other out. You know, going through something right now, I just need a little help. I get by with a little help for my... Okay. I know, I'm old, okay? Sorry. Here's the last one, and to me it's the most amazing one. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You know, this verse has been religified. Don't you hate that when scriptures get religified? In other words, it has become so coded in religion, it's like, oh, yeah. Sorry, it just doesn't go down anymore. So, you know what this is talking about? It's not talking about going to see a priest and saying, bless me, Father, I've sinned. Confess your sins to one. You know what it means, really? It means, hey, can we be real with each other?
Bingo there.
I can hit, whoa, Jackie likes that one. I feel the anointing now. Glory to God. Can we be real with each other? Okay? That's what he's talking about. Because remember, sin, the concept of sin simply means, you know what, I didn't hit the mark. I wasn't all I could be, you know? And I need to talk about that. I need to talk about what happened that made me miss that mark, you know, and not really evidence who I truly am in Christ, you know? I need to be real about that. I need to be real about the struggles I'm having and the mistakes I make. This is what he's talking about, right? And then he talks about praying for one another and how powerful that is. But let me help you understand the kind of praying that he's talking about. Because when a lot of us see somebody that we are, you know, that we care about, we see them messing up, we see them not, you know, all that they could be, our typical response to that is, oh God, they're just not doing well. Lord, I just see how they're failing and how sin has overcome them. And Lord, it's horrible. I'm just praying. Lord, isn't that true? We pray whatever the problem is. We talk to God about what's wrong with the person instead of doing this. We're supposed to come into full agreement with Papa's heart for them, for that person. What is Papa's heart for them? His heart for them is his destiny, is his purpose. It's who he made them to be and what he made them to do. That's his heart. And so I need to come into full agreement with him about that. And then here's what my prayer is. My prayer becomes an expression of my heartfelt desire or longing for their wholeness. I see what Papa's saying. I see what he has for them. And it's like, oh God, that's so awesome. Yeah, I agree, Lord. Oh man, Lord, I just say yes to that. I declare, Lord, that's what you're doing in their life. You're bringing them into a place of freedom and wholeness. You see the difference? I'm not talking about what's wrong with them. I'm talking about what he says is right with them. But they just haven't experienced it yet. This is a mindset shift for a lot of us. Most of us, if we were to look in the mirror to assess who we are, where we are, what we've been doing, we could easily come up with a list of probably 100 things that's wrong with us. Would you agree? Okay? I'm here to tell you tonight that is illegal. Illegal. You no longer have the right to stand there and criticize and critique yourself about what's wrong with you. Anybody know why? Papa's not doing that. He's not doing that. He sees you in Christ. He sees you fully formed and developed and mature in Christ. And when he sees you now, all he sees is what's missing and that he's ready to bring into your life. You see the difference? If I stand here and say to you, there's nothing wrong with you, how does that feel?
You're crazy. What, are you nuts?
There's nothing wrong with you. You're just missing some things. There's some things you haven't yet experienced of who Jesus is in you. That's it. That's it. And so in this joining together, these peer relationships, right, that we can have with one another, that's the heart. That's the heart that you and I get to have with each other is, oh, Papa, I see. Oh, I see what you want for them. And yes, I agree. I declare that. Oh, Father. Yeah, it's just like, I can't even, you know what I mean? The yes is so powerful. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. You're all so quiet. It's like, but this is what we're talking about today. Let me see if I think I'm done. Yeah, and so that kind of praying right there that I just described, that's the prayer that is divinely energized and works more powerfully than dynamite. That's the paraphrase of the second part of the verse where it says that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. Right? When I come into agreement with his heart and declare that out of my own heartfelt desire to see God do that in their life, that prayer is divinely energized and works more powerfully than dynamite. Isn't that good? I was like, oh man, that's got some wind on it. It's got some juice on it, right? It's good. So what are we going to do with all this? Well, some of you may want to actually start to jump in with this for yourself. This is not something that we require. We do this, we present this stuff because God shows us and we get a sense of what his heart is, and then we just say, here it is. You want to jump in with us? Jump in. So I need some help to hand out this little thing here. This is the chart, the diamond that I put up on the screen where you can write in men. You can write in the top of this, right? The flat part. That's where you would write in the names of or name of a mentor or mentors that God's put in your life. Then on the sides is where you would write down names of anybody that you feel you need to be intentionally connected to in this season. Okay? And then, of course, the bottom we'll talk about at a later date, which is your sphere of influence. Okay? Then on the back side, it gives you some very practical steps on how to actually connect with a peer. All right? So that's all pretty clear. I'm not going to go through that. If you have any questions on it, you can always see me before you leave tonight, but that's pretty clear. So this is something that I'm telling you what, God spoke this to me in the summertime and said, this is where I want to take my kids. And I'm like, yeah, awesome. It's good stuff. And so what I want to do in the weeks to come is I want to hear from some of you that have already been doing this without even knowing that that's what you were doing. And I want to hear some testimonies about what it's been like, because there's a bunch of you that have already been doing this and God's been blessing you big for it. And so we'll do that as well when, you know, as we move forward. Because let me tell you guys, where God's sending us and where he's taking us absolutely requires this. Okay? As a tribe, we're going to have a foundational influence on not only society, but the atmosphere of this region. And it's not because... Let me tell you something. It's not going to be because we have these huge meetings with thousands of people. It's because we've learned how to function in the kingdom as his representatives, as his ambassadors. All right?